Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values. Hello and welcome, Flyover family. We are so excited that you're here with us. We have an incredible interview today. If you are new to Flyover Conservatives, make sure you check out our flyoverconservatives.com as well as our Instagram, Facebook. Give us comments. Make sure you like this. Make sure you subscribe. Hit the notification bell. Check out our merchandise down below. You can also check it out on flyoverconservatives.com. We've got cups. We have cool hats.
That's what all the cool kids are wearing this year.
Yeah, exactly. So check it out.
All right. So when we have an opportunity to meet somebody, great. We muscle up some courage. We go to them and say, hey, we have got a family called the Flyover family that's going to want to
hear
from
you.
They want to hear your story. And sometimes that goes great. Sometimes not. We always try to swing for the fences. This time we swung. It's out of the park. We got somebody you're going to love to hear. They say that a picture's worth a thousand words. If that's the case, then a short video clip's worth a few million. So with no further ado, let me cue up the clip to introduce today's guest.
Jersey is very determined to crack down on crime, not murders and rapes, but anyone who criticizes the governor of New Jersey on Fox News. And that would include the people who run the Attila's Gym. The owners of that gym have refused to stay closed this year. In November, we spoke to the owner, Ian Smith.
So Frank and I are currently being fined personally. Governor Murphy has attempted to pierce the LLC. He has fined us $15,497.76 per day. That fine started as per day. Yes.
Well, the Attila's Gym has not paid those fines, but the state didn't wait around to litigate or adjudicate. They just took $170,000 from the gym's bank account because they can do that because they're the state. They don't have to ask permission. So we asked the state of New Jersey about this. They gave us this statement, quote, the state previously obtained a judgment from the court in the amount of $134,463.08, which the state intended to collect. Apparently, the funds were a reference. You reference were frozen as a result of a bank levy having been issued due to the state's collection efforts, which is part of the enforcement of a judicial order. Okay, keep in mind, that all sounds very legal. If you stop paying your rent, how long does it take you to get evicted from your apartment? Probably New Jersey, a year or two? This happened like that. They targeted these people. Ian Smith is one of them. He's the owner of the gym. He joins us tonight. Ian, thank you for coming on. I'm sorry about this.
Thank you for having me, Tucker.
Has the murder rate dramatically declined in, say, Camden? I mean, it seems like the state is focusing an awful lot of resources on crushing
I think it's actually higher,
them. Yeah, right. I'm sorry. I'll stop ranting. Oh, tell us what the state of affairs is tonight.
So as of yesterday morning, my partner and I checked the bank statement in the morning, and we had no money in our bank account. The state emptied out every single dollar that we have. This is in the middle of an appeals process and ongoing litigation in the matter of the fines and several other matters regarding the state, including a lawsuit against Governor Murphy and Judith Persichelli herself. This is as simple as I can put it. This is an interference with our right to counsel. This money in our bank account does not come from memberships. We have not charged our members since April 1st, since we originally shut down. This is donations and this is T-shirt sales that we have used to pay our bills and to fight our legal battles. And it is a clear and it is a blatant violation of our constitutional rights and our ability to defend ourselves in the court of law.
How long do you think they'll allow cryptocurrency to exist? Sorry, just a thought. Probably not too long.
If they can't seize it from you. No, they can't. And that's actually one of the most frequent recommendations for people who want to continue to donate is to set up a crypto account.
Yeah, while you still can. So now that they've taken all your money and you can't afford legal defense, what's your path forward?
We will be fundraising. We put out a video last night explaining the problems that we're facing, and we put out a call to help to the many people who have supported us from the beginning and the many people who have learned about our story along the way. And we've got a 450 T-shirt orders to fill and a lot of donations coming in. So from now on, we're going to pull all of our money out and we're going to just go at it in cash and write checks as we go. There will be no money in our bank accounts, and we'll continue to fight this no matter what.
I just want to very quickly remind our viewers of two things. You haven't spread COVID to anybody. And I'm reminding the Goldman Sachs guy who runs your state, you're being punished for trying to keep people healthy and trim in the middle of a pandemic that kills people who are overweight and out of shape. Doing more than Absolutely. He has to save people's lives, and of course you're being destroyed for it. Ian Smith, I appreciate it.
And I would just thank you very much, Tucker.
Thank you.
Well, what a great opportunity to, you know, when an interview like that ends, you're like, man, I would love to talk to that guy. I would love to have a longer conversation. Yeah. What else is going on? So we got a guy that is an expert in fitness, great at lifting things, pretty respectable beard. And he's today a guest on Flyover Conservatives, Mr. Ian Smith.
Welcome, Ian.
Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, man, we are so
the
glad
man, the myth,
here.
The legend right there.
That's for sure. That's for sure. So how do you take this guy that runs a gym and now he's become internationally known? He's like a lightning rod. How did that happen?
It happened with one small act of defiance. You know, we stumbled into this. My business partner, Frank, and I made the decision 6 weeks into the 14 days to slow the spread that we were going to reopen our business. And we decided that we weren't going to hide it and we weren't going to try to sneak people in the back door because that wouldn't solve the larger issue. You know, it wasn't just about, you know, making do until the restrictions were lifted. It was about the fact that no business should ever have to shut down and no can ever be told that they don't have all of these rights that we lost overnight with the coronavirus measures.
Exactly.
We were going to open publicly because we knew that the government was going to push back on us and that we wanted to show the world, excuse me, to what extent these people would go to in order to enforce their will. And the rest is history. You know, we put out about a week before, I had just a fitness Instagram at the time. You know, I'm a strength coach by trade and had a little bit of a following, especially in the local area, as far as our members go. And we put out a public service announcement. And that was about an 8-minute video about what we were going to do and why we chose to do it and how we were going to keep people safe. And next thing you know, Tucker Carlson called and the rest is,
man.
Wow.
The rest is history.
I got to ask, so like, cool. During that clip or watching, like at what point in that process were you thinking like, you know, I'm on Tucker Carlson. You know, I mean, there's 370 million people in the country. Not very many people end up on Tucker Carlson.
True.
That clip in particular, I think, was actually the last appearance. I wound up going on 8 different times, but
wow.
I specifically remember the first time. It's very weird because obviously you're not in the studio with him; you're in a satellite studio,
right?
At a camera with just a screen of yourself, and you can hear Tucker, you know, through the earpiece. And I just remember kind of sitting there and listening to the show. And then all of a sudden I was on. And next thing I know, all I could hear was my heartbeat in my ears. It's just like this just like knocking sound. And then the interview was over. And I remember thinking afterwards, like, man, I really hope that went well. Like, I hope I was able to convey myself because, you know, I had been a fan of Tucker, you know, for a long time. So it was cool being able to speak to somebody I had so much respect for. But it was also really unnerving knowing that it's the most highly rated cable television news show ever.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I needed to make sure that I didn't sound like a bumbling idiot because the material that we were talking about is important.
Yes.
Right.
But yeah, I don't remember any of it. I just remember having very sweaty palms and my heartbeat in my ears, and then it was over.
Just kind of blacked out a little bit. You kind of like taste some aluminum in your mouth, and kind of maybe you all of a sudden you realize like, man, I think I peed a little, and it's over.
No, seriously. I mean, all jokes aside, that's exactly how it was. But I remember afterwards having this feeling of like, wow, this is really real because.
Yeah.
He asked on air, you know, he's like, you're on, you know, you're on cable television in front of the entire country. And he's like, are you prepared to defy your governor? And I remember saying yes. And then, you know, it just hitting me like, we're really going to do this. But immediately my phone, I'm surprised it didn't just explode. It was like ringing and text messages were coming through and all sorts of notifications sounded like a, like just, it was just making noises. So I knew that it went well and it obviously did. We were really well received and
very well received.
Definitely.
I think it was the right message at the right time.
Yep.
Because it was right around the time where people really started kind of, I guess the first wave of people really started saying, hey, this is not making a lot of sense. So,
but it's,
yeah,
it was powerful. I remember seeing you on there for sure. It impacted us as well.
Let me ask you a question. Something we say on every episode here is we're just trying to help people to wake up, speak up, and show up. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing those things. We always mention that, you know, everybody was kind of hoping, you know, for Donald Trump to do 80 million things to save our country, to rescue them, to be the mm-hmm. hero of the white knight. We're looking for 80 million people to do one thing each day to save their own country.
Yes.
And I mean, you emulate that more than mm-hmm. anyone that I could possibly imagine. There's the expression that, tough times, you know, don't necessarily build character, they reveal character. You know, it was either there or it's not. You better be building your ark before the storm, mm-hmm. you know, comes. You know, a big storm came and the moment came. Like your big moment came. You must have had some of these principles, some of these like values worked out inside yourself long before the moment came. This wasn't something I don't think you were figuring out while you were on Tucker, like where you stood on areas like freedom
right.
and your love of country. I mean, mm-hmm. you had to have had some of that sort of sorted out beforehand, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, as far as what you said about you know, President Trump and everybody expecting him to just be the white knight, I think that, first of all, it's beautifully said, because I think our biggest flaw as Americans was that we thought everything was under control. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is that one man can't win the war, especially when you're fighting such a an important one and mm-hmm. and one that is just important and bigger than I think most self have a full grasp on. So it is about the individual. Because the reality is that it's what we're seeing is a house of cards in front of us. And it's the power structure that we're fighting against is heavily reliant on people being complacent, mm-hmm. And assuming that somebody else is going to pick up the bag. But the reality is that, it's quite the opposite, that everybody needs to find a hill. No matter what it is, and be prepared to fight on it. Business to open, you know, not everybody has, you know, whatever speaking engagements, or not everybody can run for political office, but everybody can find a hill and fight on it. If you're a parent, you know, you can be fighting mask man. You know, if you're just a regular person who works a regular job, then you need to take your mask off and you need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable in these places where hold what to do over and over again. And that's important. It seems little, it seems inconsequential, but it's not, because it's infectious. And that's an important point for people to take away, is that there's a way for every single person to contribute to the fight for freedom. Big, small, it is all important. And you can't have the big fights without the little supporting battles. You know, you can't look at people like all the people at the Tulsa conference mm-hmm. that I met you guys at. You can't just look to them and expect them to carry the weight. The people in the audience and the people who don't have the resources like a Mike Lindell, they still have to fight, because yeah. That makes all the difference mm-hmm. for the big, really important fights.
Man, that's such a great point. You know, seeing you in Tulsa and, you know, going to that event, for us, We really feel like we could fly home. There was so much excitement that came from that. And there were so many high fives in that group. And I think for a lot of people, there was people that were waking up, but learning how to use their voice too, how to speak up, how to show up. And that's why I was so excited about that Tulsa event. It was great to see you there. Just truly an incredible event. And then
seeing you walk through the crowd there, like Elvis when he came out back from the army. You know, it was amazing
because it's inspiring to see someone like us, you know, that has done something that was really incredible, you know, for this country. And then, you know, to have it in Tampa coming up here in June, that you're going to be there again, as well as this incredible lineup of people that are going to be
there. It's even bigger and better. There's more people speaking. It's longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's June the 16th, 17th, and 18th, and we have it there on the screen. It's going to be, you know, 10,000 people at this event, and to have that opportunity to go there. You know, we talked to Clay, because after that event, David and I are like, what do we have to do to help to promote this, to get as many people as we can there? And Clay actually gave the Flyover family a discount. So if you are watching this and you're part of Flyover family, you can text this number for a discount and give them the promo code.
Don't go to the website. Don't got to call. Don't got anything. You can text them directly. And I'm just saying, don't let money get in the way. Ask them. Tell them what your situation is. There's people that are helping to fund as well.
They can do
a scholarship matching.
There are some incredibly generous people who organize that event, but even just support that event, and generous people who go to that event, you know, so the help is out there. It really is, you know.
Yeah.
I can't speak highly enough of Clay and everything that he's done to organize it. And I'm really excited. It's something that I wouldn't miss for the world. I might actually have to wind up driving down there.
Because you're not wearing your mask.
nonetheless, I would not miss it for the world. But I did want to say something about what you said in the point before. You said that this reveals character. And I agree with that big time. A lot of people always come to Frank and I, you know, a lot of people stop in the gym, or I have conversations with people that, you know, via social media, and courage is a big word that a lot of people use. And a lot of people say, I wish I had the courage, or how do you get the courage? And the reality is that it wasn't about courage to stand and fight. It was about necessity. Mm-hmm. We realized that earlier than a lot of people. You know, we didn't have courage when we opened up. We had fear of losing the country we love, and that was enough to get started. And the courage came after, and the courage was revealed. You know, like you said, it reveals stuff that's there, and it even builds stuff that's there. But for people around the country who are thinking, man, I wish I could do that, or I wish I could fight, but you know, X, Y, and Z, whatever your excuse is, the courage is there. You know, we're humans. Humans are courageous beings.
Yes.
I think a lot of people think it takes,
God made us that way.
That's
a lot of people think
so
it takes a
good.
Bigger chunk of courage than it really does. Like, you don't have to be brave the whole time. Most things only require about 3 seconds of courage. Like when parachute jumping, and my son, he turned 18, that was his goal. I only had to be courageous the first second. After that, gravity took over. You know,
yes, like exactly.
If you're trying to
perfectly
ask her on a date, you know, before we're married, it's like, you know, y'all gotta be courageous for a second. Now the phone's ringing, you know, you can't get out of this.
Yeah, and then the ball's rolling.
It's rolling.
And then you're just going with it.
Yeah, that kind of happened for you on Tucker. It sounds like, you know, you'd already made the decision, but once you announced on Tucker to the world, like, you know, it was like that was your 3 seconds of like, okay.
Ian Smith, are you ready to defy your governor? Yeah, kind of.
No, it's true. I remember answering that question, and you know, I watched the video, and obviously, you know, it was a yes. But like, as I was answering it, it felt like an eternity.
Yeah,
because I was like, am I? Like, I guess I am. I mean, I'm here. I have to say yes now. I mean, I can't come on Tucker and be like, you know what, guys?
Never mind.
And you know what? I don't think it's in me.
What was I thinking? I'm just nobody from nowhere. I'm scared to death. I'm putting my mask back on. I'm going to get in trouble.
That's pretty remarkable.
Mr. Murphy, I'm sorry, sir. Yeah, I don't see it happening.
No, not at all.
I want to go back. I heard you on an interview one time. I think it was with Charlie Kirk when this was all first going down, and you made the reference that, you know, you were not getting feedback from the government on what you could do to adapt, you know, and so you developed your own protocol, separate machines, hand sanitizers everywhere. Like you took what was ridiculous and then just doubled it and said, we could be the model maybe for the whole nation. That was a thought, mm-hmm. like maybe we'll be the model. And you're doing this to serve your clients. You got some with, you know, going through addiction withdrawals. You got some with PTSD. You've got, you know, all kinds of people fighting different things. The gym is what keeps their mind right. And that, you're in a situation where they can't go to the church, they can't come to your gym, they can't go to an AA meeting, but they can go to the strip club and then go buy alcohol. It's almost like, what was the premeditated thought to create this perfect storm of crazy, you know, there, you know, maybe yeah. elaborate on that. Like your thought process is watching this, like you had to feel like you're being punked because there's no sane person that would create that mm-hmm. situation.
You know, Frank and I, we had just bought the business. We bought an absolute dumpster fire of a gym 8 months before the lockdown hit.
Wow.
And you know, we put our heart and soul into it, and so did our families for that matter. You know, and we saw immediate growth and turnaround and success, and we were really hitting our stride. So when the shutdown came, it was like, all right, you know, we didn't want to do it, but it was like, okay. We have this unknown here. This could be, you know, because it is a very real possibility that the plague comes and we weren't out to be troublemakers, or we weren't out to be defiant just for the sake of being defiant. So we shut down, although we were both aware of what a slippery slope that is. Mm-hmm. But we didn't stop working. We were there the next day. There was still a gym to up that on side of this, that business was going to look very different. So we were working and paying attention, and that became our full-time job is paying attention to learning everything we could about the virus, how it was transmitted, how it was mitigated possibly could, but we were also watching the politicians' reactions to it. And it just immediately was not making any sense. Mm-hmm. You know, so we that made us pay attention more, and mm-hmm. on day 11 of the shutdown in New Jersey, they passed the single biggest economic stimulus bill to the tune of $2.6 trillion, and it stunk like politics. And we took the time and we read through a lot of it, and there were some things in there that were major red flags. You know, when you're talking about a virus with an incubation period of 14 days, but you've put in funding for 16 weeks of extra unemployment that will decentivize people to go back to work.
Right.
That raises a red flag. Mm-hmm. There's stuff in there that a lot of people still don't even know about. You know, a lot of people know that hospitals were, you know, incentivized to mark things as COVID deaths, but a lot of people don't know that states themselves were receiving federal funding for positive PCR tests, which explains the fear mongering in places like where you guys are at, where the population density isn't as high. You were getting more money per case. Places like West Virginia were getting almost $400,000 of federal money for positive cases.
Wow.
Or excuse me, positive tests. So that isn't a hospitalization. That's federal money that is going to the state, being funneled from the taxpayers to the states. To use at their discretion. So
kind of makes you want to scratch your beard a little.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so exactly. And it did leave us scratching our beards, although Frank has stubble.
needs more vitamins.
So that was it for us. And then we really started to pay attention. And then all of the ludicrous stuff really came out. Like, you know, the fact that gyms were shut down and they're a place of health. The fact that churches are shut down and they're also a place of health. Mm-hmm. The fact that Big Box was able to just do pretty much whatever it wanted with very laughable measures. I mean, they wanted us to believe that sticking a surgical mask or a bandana over your face and wiping your cart with a Lysol wipe was a public health measure. Mm-hmm. And you could just have a free for all in Walmart, but you couldn't go to the gym, or you couldn't go as a woman and get your haircut, or you couldn't go on Sunday to worship God. Mm-hmm. But you could go spend as much money as you wanted to, as long as it wasn't with small business, as long as it was with big companies.
You're like, that's kind of an interesting thread.
That was, yeah. And so what we did, we said, all right, we're going to open and we're going to show everybody how stupid this is, because we're going to look at the measures that they have to do. We're going to take those and we're going to double and triple down on them. I mean, we went so far and above and beyond with our public safety measures that it was overkill times 10. And that if the state tried to come in and shut us down, they would look like fools because they were allowing big business to operate with almost no safety protocol. Certainly not effective safety protocol when you look at the numbers, with places like Amazon reporting back in October of last year that there were over 20,000 positive cases in their warehouses. Wow. So yeah, and none of it made any sense. And you know, Frank and I joke, because one of the criticisms we got early from the woke mob was that we were two dumb gym owners. So as two dumb gym owners, we were able to keep, and we still have been able to keep, over 187,000 people safe at our facility. That's the number of visits that we've had as of this morning.
Man, maybe it's good to be a dumb gym owner.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, and it's just silly. It's absolutely insane. We've invited time and time again any of these public health officials to put their policy on the table and talk about it. Like, have an open discussion. No notes. Have a public discussion about your public health policy, and just put Frank and I at the table. And we'll run circles around you because it doesn't make sense. And they refuse to do so because they know what would happen.
Right. Man. Well, you had this tweet that came out.
So, I don't know who made it, if it was you or somebody else, but this little viral meme went around quite a bit.
I don't know if you've seen that, but
I just want to see if your opinion or tune has changed at all since this came out.
Yeah, so it says, this gym owner, Ian Smith, who refused to close his gym in New Jersey, giving you a truth bomb. Everything the government is doing right now is designed to make you fat, weak, stupid, depressed, lazy, and reliant on crumbs they wipe off their plates. Health replaced by pharmaceuticals, education replaced by programming, hard work replaced by handouts. These people hate you, Ian Smith. Man,
yes, that is a tweet. That post was not me, but that post did go. I mean, I saw that post translated into 7 languages.
Wow,
I saw it everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know who I'm pointing in the wrong direction. I don't know who made the post, but it was obviously very well received, and
yeah,
I stand by that. You know, these people use emotion and flowery language and virtue signaling to the highest degree to pretend like they care about people, but the public never are congruent. It's always about the greater good, and it's always about this, but all of these policy damage than keeping people safe. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can look at any aspect of American life that has been impacted by these policies or changed by these policies, and you've seen a decline in the quality of life of Americans. And that
Absolutely.
Goes for young,
yep.
old, black, white, inner city, rural, doesn't matter. Everybody lost out on this. As long as you are a middle class American, you were not invited to the table. You were given the scraps. And they tricked you into They tricked all of us at one point, and they still have a lot of people fooled into thinking that they have your best interest in mind.
Mm-hmm. I love a quote from Ronald Reagan. He said one of the scariest phrases ever is, I'm yes. with the government. I'm here to help you. I love Reagan. We have a Doberman named Reagan. You know, and he's got the best quotes ever, and he's timeless. You take some of his clips, they could have been this year.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Government, none of this is government's job. You know, government is not here to babysit us. It's not here to tell us how to live our lives. The country was founded on principles that are the exact opposite of that. But somewhere along the line, we've allowed these people to embed themselves under so much bureaucracy, just cumbersome government, mm-hmm. that they forget, or maybe they didn't forget. I'm sure they know what their actual job is, but people are elected into positions of public office because they wish to serve the public. And at the very, very best, most of these individuals are extremely selfish. And I think in a worst case scenario, a lot of them are very malicious.
Mm-hmm. I think that something that was very eye-opening for us, and I think a lot of the country, was it really depends on where you live, on how much you were affected by the government. You know, our local officials, whether they be our mayors or our governors, you know, it was amazing how much power that they had that I don't think a lot of us realized. I think a lot of times we were like, oh, the president, that's the most important person to vote for. But I think we're very quickly finding out that that's not the case. And what you've been experiencing in New Jersey, maybe others haven't experienced in other places across the country, but it's interesting to see how that's happened.
It is. And that's an excellent point. I think over the course of whatever the last 50 or so years, life has been very good in America. And most people have gone about almost their whole lives, you know, just sort of living the American dream, working, building families, minding their own business, that they only pay attention to stuff like the presidential election. Mm-hmm. And they didn't realize, and I didn't, what type of power local officials wield and how much impact they can have over your life. You know, something you think of like the school board typically, and you're like, oh yeah, well, they're just the school board. They're just teaching our kids. And then all of a sudden you look at the condition of the public schools today and what they're actually teaching the kids. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we have a generation of kids who hate their country. Yes. who have been taught a very negative view of history, to say the least.
Yeah.
But even stuff like, you know, local police who chose to enforce these things, or local mayors, like even in states where the governor said, hey, we're not going to do this, you had who have these local officials. You don't think too much about who your mayor is or what he's doing, but he's making people's lives miserable.
Yep.
With extended lockdowns just for the sake of spite.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are looking at it and they, you know, you hear, you know, Ron DeSantis speak and you're like, it kind of makes sense when he comes out and he's like, hey, if you're going to riot and burn down buildings here, we're coming after you. You know, and they're like, oh, that's controversial. Why is that controversial?
Like, it should not be
how
a problem.
Insane do you have to be to think it's controversial to say,
but it's not controversial to lock people in their houses indefinitely.
We're not going to let you burn down buildings here,
go to church or anything else.
Yeah.
But if you want to be a degenerate, then that's okay. And nobody should have anything to say about that. You know,
So they look at that and they're like, if you're living in Michigan and you can't buy grass seed while you're in quarantine, and you look at people in Florida and they're like on the beach doing stuff. And it's like, you know,
like, what the heck?
You're like, wow, maybe on the next governor's race, I might want to pay attention.
Yeah. I might want to show up to vote.
You know, if you're living in South Dakota and you're like, there's some kind of a thing going on in the country, or like the flu's bad this year. I don't know, you know, and then you look at California and you see the Coast Guard chasing one guy on a paddleboard.
Yeah. On a paddleboard.
Oh. Yeah. And you're like, okay, you know, only the government could come up with these kind of policies that are so crazy, you know, where, hey, you can't go to church, you can't go to the gym, but you can get a lap dance because that's First Amendment. You know, it's like, it's like only the government could come up with those things. So we have to be involved in our government, you know? So I think a lot of times conservatives and Christians as well are kind of like, well, you know, it's like if your car's not broken, it's working. You don't like look under the hood every night when you get home from work, you just go in and you're focused on your kids' homework and what they got to do. But,
exactly. But
man, they're destroying people's lives with their crappy policies.
Yeah. And I had a conversation with, he's one of my favorite authors. I was on his podcast and he said it just beautifully. We got very comfortable with politics, not really meaning too much, you know, for a really long time there. You know, if your guy won and my guy didn't, it wasn't the end of the world. You know, a little bit of money was spent for a program that maybe I didn't support. And, you know, next time around, my guy wins. And your life wasn't changed so dramatically.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, if your guy wins, you want to lock me in my house forever.
Right.
A little different.
It became very important to pay attention very, very quickly. And I think that snuck up on a lot of people because it was like, oh, you know, so-and-so's, you know, so-and-so's the governor of my state. Like, oh, you know, whatever. He's just, you know, Chris Christie or whatever.
If they even know the name.
Exactly. Exactly. Or it's like, oh, you know, who's my governor?
Yeah, who
and then
is
all
it?
Of a sudden it's like, oh, my governor says I can't buy grass seeds.
Yeah.
And I'm not allowed to go to my vacation home.
Right.
But the governor's husband's got the boat in the water first.
Quickly. Yes,
yeah.
It does.
Yeah, it's kind of like being in a, maybe you're in a marriage and you're for years, you're kind of both talking about, we'd love to do something different with the house. And you're like, yeah, me too. And you're like, yeah, me too. And you're like, it'd be nice if we took out this wall and made the room bigger, maybe painted. And you start picking up on your partner's like, yeah, I think what we need to do is pour gas in every room and burn it down. Because I hate this house so much, I'm going to build something totally different. You're like, whoa.
Wait a second here.
I was with you right till the burn it down thing. I think our marriage is in worse shape than I thought. You know, it's kind of, that's kind of where we are right now. Like, I don't know if this is going to work out. You know, you're wanting to burn the house down. I was thinking like move the wall over a few inches. You know, it's like, it's a totally different conversation.
It's no longer acceptable to agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we agree to disagree and you want to burn the house down and you go ahead and do it, then, you know, that's a problem for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I'm living in it.
That happened really, really quickly, you know, and I think it snuck up on us and I think that's probably by design. You know, yeah. I think that a lot of this was, a long time coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, none of this happened by accident. I don't think anybody could convince me of that at this point.
Well, when one person's saying they want to fundamentally change the house, you're like, yeah, fundamentally change the house. That's a good idea. But when I understand now fundamentally change means burn it to the ground and we're going to build something else here. Yeah. You're like,
we are fundamental.
it's a semantics thing. We weren't on the same page with fundamentally change the house.
I thought you meant new paint.
Yeah, exactly.
New maybe windows,
maybe.
Get
rid maybe. Of a wall or something, you know.
Yeah,
man, that's true.
I take it back. I don't want to fundamentally change the house. Yeah. You know, I like the house. It's got good bones, man. Let's keep it going.
It's true. So true. So in the process of kind of going through this, you know, and I mean, you've come across some opposition, you know, in this process, you know, what have you learned about yourself? Have you surprised yourself at all?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have. I've learned a lot about myself. I've for sure know where my values are more so than ever. I know that I'm capable of more than I ever thought. You know, if you would have asked me, I think this goes for everybody. There's nothing uniquely special about myself or Frank. You know, we're just two dumb gym owners, honestly.
I know better than that after talking to you. That's not true.
That's said with a wink.
If you would have asked me a year ago, because let's see, today is May 12th and we opened up May 18th of last year. So if you would have asked me a year ago right now, if anything I ever did would inspire millions of people around the country and around the world, and that I would have the support and love, and just incredible. I don't even know the words. Just incredible opportunity to help,
mm-hmm.
and that there would be so many people who, at the drop of a hat, would do anything to help me. And my business and my business partner, I would have laughed, because it's one of those like, oh, I'm only just one person. And I've learned that your actions are far more powerful than you could ever imagine. And you never know who is watching you. So it's always important to do the right thing and to stay true to your values, no matter how difficult it becomes.
Mm. That is really good. That is powerful. So just to kind of add a second thing to that then, can you tell us about, you know, what you've learned about people or maybe some heartwarming stories or, you know, because, I mean, just what we experienced watching
in
Tulsa.
We'll just assume someone on Twitter's probably called your name in the last year.
Yeah.
Let's just go without that.
Yeah. But
once
like,
or twice. I'm still not banned from Twitter. I joined for the express purpose of getting banned, and I'm not there yet. I just
you're not doing it right.
Followers.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just saw in Tulsa a heartwarming story. And I'd love for you to share that with people, like what happened in Tulsa when they found out that the $170,000 that was given to you as a GoFundMe to protect yourself was taken away by the local government, what people did, which I thought that was really powerful. But I bet you even have more. Can you give us a couple of just heartwarming stories of what people have done?
Yeah. I mean, we had on the one of the first days that we reopened, we had a gentleman drove several hours. I think he drove from like Virginia or something like that. And he was an old war vet. And he gave us his chip, his drinking chip, which if you know anything about salty old dogs, those things, they don't make a lot of them.
Goosebumps. And
they're only for the bravest of fighters and warriors. And he handed it to Frank and I, and he thanked us for what we did. And this is somebody who put his life on the line,
right.
In open combat, telling us that we were heroes.
Wow.
So yeah, that was pretty powerful. And there's an individual who comes to our gym every day, and he's one of the living, breathing examples. And his name is Joe Logan. He is a war vet, Marine frontline, was blown up twice in Afghanistan, had to relearn how to walk, decorated. And when we reopened, he was the first person in line. And this is a guy who's done and seen some things that I wouldn't wish anybody had to go through. And he did them out of love for his country.
Yeah.
He said to us, he said, "You guys saved my life." Because he has to deal with some really, really tough stuff. And the way that he digests it is every day he comes to the gym, and he walks in the gym, usually at about the same time, about 7:30 or 7 o'clock every day. And he absolutely crushes himself every day. He's just an animal. And, when he leaves every day, he leaves with a smile on his face, and he can go home and he can be a father to his children, and he can be a husband to his wife. And without that, he's unable to do so, because the only options for him are medication from the VA, or some other equally as destructive vice. And his father actually came as well and thanked us and said the same thing. He said, "I don't think you understand. You saved my son's life."
Probably makes
that,
it worth it.
You just took the words out of my mouth. That is all the ammunition we ever need to continue the fight is stuff like that, because we know what we did and what we're doing is important, but when it's right in your face like that, it's everything. It's, you know, I would never, ever, ever, ever back down with somebody like that at my side.
Man, those are powerful.
Two special sections at the end. For those of you that are familiar with Flyover Conservative Podcast, we have a rapid fire. We're going to do a special Ian Smith only edition here today as well.
So much fun.
But before we bounce into that, when we go to the big screen, we've had your Twitter handle on there for sure, and your Instagram. I think it's at Ian Smith Fitness. Is that correct?
Correct.
So people can find you at Ian Smith Fitness. Is Instagram probably your favorite hangout spot, place people can follow your work and what you're doing?
Instagram. Work loud and vocal.
Good.
That is perfect.
And a lot of things you do require pictures to see and believe. So Instagram. What about people who want to contribute towards your guys staying in the fight? I don't know if the GoFundMe is still open, or can they just send something directly to you? We kind of want it to actually get to you.
What's the best way for people to do that?
First of all, I like to make sure that people know that a contribution to our fight is not always a financial one. That just following along and caring about the story and sharing the story, doesn't matter if you have 5 Facebook friends or 5,000, every time people share our stories, we grow stronger and we grow, more confident and more able to continue the battle. So stuff like that is super, super important. But if you're interested in a financial contribution of some sort, our website is theatilisgym.com, and Attilis is spelled A-T-I-L-I-S. On there, you have a GoFundMe, which is our primary way of paying the very expensive court costs it costs to battle the government. Mm-hmm. But we also have a merchandise shop. A lot of people really want to support us, both financially, but also kind of help spread the message. And we sell quite a few t-shirts. We actually don't charge our members or our guests. We have not done so since April 1st of last year, when we shut down billing. So that's kind of how we pay the bills. We're basically like a big rec center and an apparel store. And we have sent t-shirts to all 50 states and 16 countries around the world. And we are extremely grateful for that support.
Well, I know some of you guys listening, you're not in the fight. You can't be in the fight. You're in a place that's not even necessary. But you know what? You can support somebody who is in the fight, somebody who's on the front line, somebody who's kind of standing up and truly is a lightning rod giving courage to millions of other people. And to see the people that are so inspired by you when we were in Tulsa was amazing. Again, we're going to be in Tampa. We're going to be there. We're going to have a meet and greet and some things. I don't know if we can connect with you and have you attend it. We just want to get conservatives together with other conservatives and like getting to know each other and find out they're not alone. And that this country is not only worth saving, but there's a lot of other people that are in it to save it. So
and it's possible.
Absolutely. It's easy to spot Ian down there because he has the branded beard going on. But you might think, like I saw, we were at a dinner the night before it all started. And I was like, God, that guy looks like Ian Smith. But you don't think it's Ian Smith. You're like, he's got a guy, like who's he think he is? Ian Smith or something? You know, some wannabe chump here trying to, you know, do it. And it's like, oh, no, that's the real thing.
That's the real guy.
So anyway, if they come to Tampa, they can get a chance to meet you and get a picture made with you or something like that. So that would be a great opportunity. Again, there's a discount for everybody that's a part of the Flyover Conservative family here. Just give them discount code FLYOVER. And don't let money get in the way. Get your ticket now. Find out how to get there later if you need to. Get you know, start putting out message on Facebook and things. Find some people who want to drive there together. Do some things, but make it happen. It's kind of a rare opportunity to be in a room like that, and I don't know that there's going to be that many of that big event. There'll probably be lots of more smaller ones or something maybe down the road, but getting to see General Flynn and Patrick Byrne and Mike Lindell. Yeah. And we had Melissa Tate on our podcast earlier, and just this amazing band of characters all in one place is just pretty rare.
It is. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
That is for sure. Let's do the rapid reaction.
Rapid reaction.
Excited. This is first a new time one to ever, fly over.
First time ever. We're breaking.
You can't do this with every guest.
This is uncharted territory. We're breaking new ground going in here. But I want your reaction to some of these videos we see on your Instagram. Is this like landscaping rocks and you were walking somewhere and you just thought, can I lift that?
What's the story here?
Believe it or not, this is how I make a living. I find heavy things and I teach people how to pick them up and move them.
You're like the Fred Flintstone of New Jersey.
That is great.
You're like a human.
That one's a light one. That one's only
how much
about
do they weigh?
75. That one, that last stone was 275 pounds.
Okay, now, did you have a background? Did you work in a tire shop or something growing up, or where did this fetish come from?
So I got really bored doing like typical bodybuilding, and I got into strongman, and that's what strongmen do. We're the sort of the knuckle draggers of the fitness world.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Now tell us how this works. Maybe we can loop this back through again. It looks like you're struggling the more as you go along, but are they heavier or hey, can you go back to that last one again? Or that train leading station?
That is a progressive one right there. So that's 450, 550,
650,
and 750 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
That first one, you're just like, this is nothing. Get out of the way.
Now, that's the warm up tire.
Yeah.
Now, can you wear a shirt when you do this or is that against regulations?
That is against regulations.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to get it dirty.
Yeah, I don't even know if all my wife watching all these, man. It's like, that's...
That is very impressive.
Just a beast.
That was actually when we had to move the gym outside. We were moving the entire facility outside every day. There's the facility.
Wow.
About 50,000 pounds worth of equipment and machinery every single day.
All right, is this moving? Are you moving that outside right now?
What's this about here?
That is called a yoke carry. So that's about 600-700 pounds right there. That's another strongman event. Just basically designed to crush your soul and see who can walk the furthest as you're dying.
Your quads are just ripping on that thing. It's like they're little tree trunks. I bet it'd be really hard to knock you over.
I bet so.
It better be. Governor Murphy hasn't tried.
No.
Yeah. That's just unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
All right. So what are we doing here? Is this a...
What kind of pipe is that?
Like some drainage pipe called, and you had to move it?
This is the log press. This is actually my favorite event in Strongman. It is...
You're apparently good at it.
It is a man maker. That log will make you feel completely powerless time and time again.
How much does it weigh?
That one right there is 300 pounds altogether.
Oh my god!
And you're lifting it up over your head.
Yeah. And throwing it.
We do nothing but bust each other's balls. The gentleman who comes into the picture right now, there is my head trainer and a very good friend of mine. And it's a battle back and forth to who can add 5-10 pounds every time until one of us can't, and then you have the non-existent trophy for the time being.
Oh my gosh!
Wow!
I got a buddy here who's a gym. His name's Ryan Waters. We've had him on before. He's a little bit Ian Smith of our area. He kind of fought mask mandates and that kind of stuff, and found himself in court and doing all kinds of great noble efforts. Huge patriot. Fairly buff guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with him.
I'll see if, I don't know if he watches this podcast or not. We'll see if he's watching our podcast or not. I could probably take Ryan.
Yeah.
I wonder if he could lift a 300-pound log. This is a good test to see if he watches our podcast or not.
We'll be like, hey, Ryan.
We'll call him out. All right.
Okay, what's this?
You're like a sled engine. You're the motor.
I think that post actually got taken off of Twitter. I forget what I said. That was just playing around. That's a couple hundred pounds on the sled there.
Running.
I said something about commies get helicopter rides or something, and they got down for hate speech.
The big tech platforms take offense if you insult communists.
Yeah.
It's like their family.
Fourth of July. It is their family. It's their bankroll.
Yeah.
I said 4th of July isn't canceled, you commie bastards, and it got taken down as hate speech.
That's right. Man.
That was like July 3rd when they were saying that. No fireworks were allowed.
Oh, man.
We should come to Missouri. We blow up a lot of stuff.
We do.
We eat a lot of barbecue here. And we blow up a lot of stuff. 4th of July. People save all year to blow stuff up on the 4th of July because that's what our forefathers would have wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
The way it should be.
Yeah.
Dude, you would fit in really well here. Okay, all right, last thing.
Here's the softer side of you here, Ian.
You get to know a little bit more about Ian with a rapid fire round.
Exactly.
We need a theme song for this.
We do. Here's the first question. Drum roll. What is your favorite romantic comedy?
Oh, man.
John Wick.
Titanic.
Oh, Titanic. Okay, that's good.
I was waiting for John Wick or something to kill that dog in the beginning. That just breaks your heart.
Bring you to tears every time.
All right. What is your favorite, cats or dogs?
Oh, that's hard. I was a cat person until I got my dog, and now it's a 50-50.
This is rapid fire, Ian. I don't need your life story in this part. You had the whole show to tell your life story. Now we'll answer.
Flip a coin.
Okay.
You sound like a politician there. All right, let's go.
All right. Favorite band in junior high or high school?
In high school. 311.
Okay.
I'm going to Google that. All right.
I don't even know that one.
What's your number one best tip for somebody trying to grow a beard?
Don't shave.
That's good. Ever.
Okay. So, how do you take your coffee?
Espresso, nice and foamy latte, as soft as it gets.
Okay.
Didn't see that coming. What is the best meal you've ever had?
My girlfriend makes absolutely delicious mahi-mahi fish tacos.
Ooh, I love fish
favorite.
Tacos.
By far my favorite.
Man. Okay, last question. What historical figure would you choose to have a long dinner with?
JFK.
That would be interesting.
He would have some stories, wouldn't he? Man, that'd be a great long dinner.
Yeah.
All right.
That is awesome.
That would be awesome. I'd love to pick his brain because he was somebody that fought the system and paid dearly for it.
Yeah, sure, and we're just now realizing how much he fought it. Ian, this has been a blast. You are everything that you were hyped up to be.
For sure. And more.
And more. And more.
Just a dumb gym owner.
No, hey, you're
dumb like a fox.
Yeah.
Dumb like a fox. Cannot wait to see you in Tampa and hang out with you a little bit there and kind of build on this. Maybe get our picture made with him next time, too.
Get our picture made.
Yes, absolutely. I'll see you guys there.
Sounds great. Thanks you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate
it. Bring us home, Stace.
And thank you, Flyover family, for joining us. We just bless you. We bless you to wake up, speak up, and show up. We bless you to be brave and courageous. We bless you to know that the future is brighter than your past. Have a great day, and we'll see you back here. Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Flyover Conservatives podcast with David and Stacey Whited.
please subscribe, hit the notification bell, and leave us a comment below. Lastly, if you enjoyed today's podcast, share with those who came to mind. Be blessed and make it a great day.